To him who loved us and has freed us from our sins, our Lord Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed of our victorious Lord and Savior. You get the impression that these days there's a lot of disturbance for our culture. People are just really twisted up about things inside. It used to be you could have a cold or an allergy and you wouldn't have people looking at you like maybe you had something really serious, right? One mom was telling us about her kids, you know, they're maybe coughing a little bit and she just wants to tell everybody, don't worry about it, it's just an allergy. Oh, man. But was there ever a time? Or is it as overused as that word in the media these days, unprecedented? Unprecedented. Is there really never a time before when there was a leak from the Supreme Court, a Supreme Court of some sort, or a Supreme Court that went astray? Could happen. Rulers that ruled for themselves instead of for the people. Rulers that brought the wrath of their government down on God-fearing Christians in particular. Really? Oh, this is unprecedented? That family members should betray and hate each other? I get the feeling sometimes that we are suffering from a gross ignorance of history. When these words were written during the Roman Empire, all of the apostles were dead except John, as the Lord had promised. And he was in exile on the island of Patmos. He was the only surviving apostle. Other ones had been killed by emperors who would also, in some cases, well, like Herod the Great in the Holy Land, you know, his favorite wife and his favorite sons seemed to be a threat to his throne, so he killed them. Dreadful. They did that. Some of the apostles, according to the stories at least, we don't know all the details, but you could have a queen who heard about Jesus, her Savior, trusted in him for salvation, and then her husband, the king, was jealous that she loved Jesus more than she loved him. So he'd kill his favorite wife and the apostle that told her about Jesus. It happened over and over again, and really unprecedented. These things have never happened. You know, you could read just two chapters in the Bible, Matthew 24 and Mark 13. Remember 24 and subtract 1 from each. That'll get you there. Matthew and Mark, right? 24 and 13, all predicted. All the signs. Do any people ask you sometimes, do you think the end is coming? Do you think the end is near? Well, yeah, all the signs have been fulfilled. And the Christians thought back in the day that Jesus' coming was imminent. Nobody could know except God that it would be this long. And some look at that and say, well, then he's never coming. Right? Because there's never been an earthquake here. There'll never be one. No volcano has ever exploded, right? So this one will never either. Oh, we are foolish. But Jesus' words always come true. He's so faithful. He is so absolutely faithful. If you ever wondered why God's Son had to die, and that's the way Jesus walking with the Emmaus disciples in Luke 24, it had to be this way. It was predicted in the scriptures, yes, but for a reason. We can't turn away. You can't argue the cross away. Because it's so important that you know Jesus as your Savior, the deliverance from guilt and fear, that he opened heaven for you. It's so important that it took God's own Son, the long-promised Christ, to bring this about. So when he was hanging there between the earth and sky, as predicted, he said he would die on a cross of the Gentiles. And his disciples were begging him to go someplace else. He had many opportunities to escape. He chose not to. because he knows you by name. And he knows my sin-sick soul too. So he's hanging there on the cross. And he's thinking of you, thinking of me, thinking of Bob and Helen. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes we recognize our sin, but even David in the Psalms had to pray, Lord, who can understand his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. If I tried to confess them all, I never could, not even for a day, not even for 5 minutes. I just don't know. But he knows. So he came and shed the only blood that could wash away the sins of the whole world so that his people could proclaim not a potential forgiveness, not an if you do this or that or a maybe. Jesus said, it is finished. That was his proclamation. And do you believe it or don't you? You're going to believe the one who died for you, God's own son from heaven, or some religious authority out there, because all the world's religions say otherwise. You got to do this, you got to do that. They always add something. And you know my own sinful heart wants to do the same. There's something in all of us, let's admit it. I want to take credit. Things go well for a while, and sure enough, God has to humble me again because I'm starting to take credit for it instead of just praising God for all the good. But he's merciful. He's kind. And this last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which in the first verse says it's figurative, it will be in symbols. It was given to the church on earth because John was in exile on the island of Patmos, the last of the apostles alive, and the church really needed encouragement. As today, maybe a little less whining on the part of Christians, how bad we're being treated and this and that. It gets a little tiresome, doesn't it, if you know any history at all? You think Bob and Helen had any clue about how history repeats itself? You can't be in the military the way they were without knowing, yeah, freedom is a beautiful blessing. Promise from Jesus, the faithful one, be faithful until death and I will give you the crown of life. Can you keep the promise? Do you need it? What force, no matter how sincere or right, could see the enemy coming and just go hide behind a rock, cover your eyes and cover your ears, and figure all is well because you can't see the problem anymore? That's Americans today. They're just things we don't want to think about. We all know somebody will die, we'll die, but there's something inside of all of us. In the Proverbs it says, God has written eternity in the heart of man. So we all have this feeling like, yeah, but it won't get to me. I feel that sometimes too. That's when it's a good time for a cold or something like that. Yeah? God just kind of pats you on the head a little bit and says, you know, your day's coming too. Psalm 90, Moses' psalm says, teach us all to number our days aright and apply our hearts to wisdom, to bring it in wisdom. It's okay. It's okay, because Jesus is faithful, and God is faithful in Christ. And you be faithful, even to the point of death, and Jesus says, I will give you. Not somebody else will give you, he says, I will give you. This is a gift straight from God's own Son. Nail-pierced hands, right? Still has the scar in his side, scars in his feet, the trophies of his victory for you. I will give you. Not that you will earn it. It's an inheritance. I will give you the crown of life because it is finished. And I meant it. And God accepted it when he raised me from the dead. That was God's proclamation that all is well. You can be at peace with God today and forever. And you know that's true even if you never belonged to a church in your whole life. I can say that. It's okay. You trust in Jesus. That's all you need, just him. And that really, that sure puts a different slant on how we live, isn't it? Doesn't it? Back in the day when our son was really interested in armaments, he's got his own boys now, but history was his thing. And so we went to the Oshkosh fly-in, if you know Oshkosh, Wisconsin, oh yeah. And watching these awesome planes, I think they had a Harrier jump jet there that time that could just rise up. And there was some American model of that, and then my son could tell you where the engines were made. But they had it there, and I could just imagine Helen being there, you know, with her time in the Air Force and at the Pentagon. How awesome that would be, and just the people going on about this awesome might of the United States. And I'm proud of my country, too. I am thankful for the freedom that we can come and go today. We're not getting shot at. You didn't need permission to come to this city if you came from someplace else, right? Nobody checked your papers at the state border. Praise God for the freedoms that God has given to us and preserved to this day. It's wonderful. But as people went on and on about this awesome physical military power to destroy things, I couldn't help wondering, what happens if it gets into the wrong hands and all of a sudden it's aimed at us, God's people? It happens. It's happening to Christians in China now, again, all over the world. As proud as they were for their country and their service for our freedom, Bob and Helen didn't dwell on it. Honestly, there are times when I'm coming to share our Lord Jesus and his comfort in word and sacrament with shut-ins, and it's really hard to just get them off the politics. I know it concerns us all, but to focus on the hereafter, like Jeremiah said, what will you do in the end? You know, after all of this is gone. You just go back to when they served in the military in the 1950s, how things have changed in the world. I mean, they've changed, but they haven't. All those military leaders are long since dead and gone. Christ reigns. Nations rise and fall. This is all that ultimately matters. And it was amazing how that was really all that mattered to Bob and Helen. I didn't realize until, you know, looking at all the bio information, or at least what I could get my hands on, that they were 50 years members at Divinity and Lutheran Church in St. Paul, just 50 years and founding members. We have charter members here at New Life, too. I mean, getting a church off the ground is, you need really dedicated Christians to do it, and they were. Until housing and health needed them to come to Shoreview, and then they were still listening to Jesus' invitation. We had it in the service before. I know some of you read it and you love it. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." God's Son came to this sin-cursed earth to suffer not his sins, but our sins on him and the sins of people around him, even his own family. I mean, who would understand? His family thought he was crazy. The only one who understood was his heavenly Father. And that's why Jesus would sometimes spend all night praying. In prayer to his heavenly Father, he needed that solace and that comfort so he could give that to us. And Bob and Helen kept seeking it as often as they could come to worship in God's house. But then when that wasn't possible, glad to have loved ones from the congregation to come and call, to visit, to bring the comfort of God's word and sacrament. That's how the heart is once it's been captured by the victor over sin, death, and hell. You know. They were very aware of that depression on Job when everything else is gone and all he's got is, "I know that my Redeemer lives." That's probably 2200 BC that was written. That's the estimate. And all these centuries, Christians have been touched by those words, I know that my Redeemer lives. We sing them at Easter. And that these eyes will see him. This body raised. Awesome wonder. They knew about guarding and protecting God's commands because freedom isn't really free, right? It was bought and paid for, especially the greatest freedom of all from guilt and fear and sin and shame. The freedom to know God is smiling at you because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed, risen for you. And you can have that peace. So Jesus says, the counselor will come to remind you of these things, especially when you get to those times when the mind isn't quite working as it had before. If you knew Helen, you know how her mind worked. But after a while, she could not string those words together anymore. And it was frustrating, you know, right? And Bob was just more and more quiet as time went on. But that Holy Spirit working in their heart, even when they couldn't express it with their mouths, you could see it in their eyes. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding. That peace that guards your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus, who says, this counselor will be in you. And then in that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. I puzzled over that a long time trying to preach it. What does that mean, to be in God, or God in the Son? I think it's more like we say he's really into that. God is really into you. He's into you because he's always thinking about you, always caring, always watching, always guiding, even when things are beyond our control. When the call came that Helen was close, you know, none of us could know who would be first. Those secrets are hidden in the wisdom and the mystery of God's grace. But thankfully, Pastor Gavrish was in town, so he could call on her. And just hours before she passed from grace to glory, give her the Lord's blessing so she could depart in peace. When I got back into town a few days later, went to see Bob as soon as I could. And he was so confused that day. The staff was really concerned about him. You could just see the love from the caregivers there. And he kept pointing like he wanted to go somewhere. I just thought he was so confused. That's how it seemed, because he couldn't verbalize anything anymore. So I took him in the wheelchairs, you guys did too, you know, roll him up and down the hallway. But I went to the left, out of the room there, and you know, to the far end, and just kind of talked to him along the way. And he's kind of shuffling, and he's antsy, and he's got something on his mind, but he can't say what it is. So I finally got him back to his room. I thought, you know, it was time to put him back in his room, and no, he non-verbally indicated that was not where he was going. So I had to go the other way, toward the doors that led out of the memory unit. And with all the strength he could muster, he's grabbing hold of the railing and pulling himself along in the hallway. Later on, the staff told me that was the door where they took Helen out. All I could do was kneel next to the wheelchair and put my foot in front of the wheel. And you know that Bob and Helen were not the hugging type, right? But I put my arm around his shoulders and I squeezed like I would for my dad if I could. I told him, Bob, Helen is with Jesus. And you'll be there soon, too. Just be at peace. Trust in Jesus. He's got this. He'll keep you. He'll watch over you. His timing is perfect. And I am just amazed. I am amazed over and over again at the Holy Spirit's power to just turn down people's systems, to just give them peace. So he's not striving and struggling. Nothing we can do. Going out's not going to help here, right? It's going to be the Lord's time, his way. And to be able to take him and seat him with all the other residents that were waiting for dinner to start and by his friend Al. I could never tell if Al was a resident there or if just a kind-hearted volunteer that stopped because he looked everything together, all together and with it. But Al was his friend. The next time I called on Bob, he was nonverbal and really pretty much non-responsive. But from January 27th to February 5th, that's all. That's all. And he wasn't alone during that time before the call came for the Lord to bring Bob from grace to glory. You see, it's just at these times, it's in the depths that God's power is most beautifully known. If we did not have this contrast, everything would be like in camouflage, right? If you take a picture and your outfit is the same as the background behind, I'm told you can look like the Wizard of Oz, you know, just the head. But he gives us this contrast. And when you see the contrast of God's grace against these troubles and heartaches, his mercy is sweet indeed. And since he died for all, his mercy is meant for all. So in time, you learn, as the Lord's apostle Paul did, and he said he did learn it, to speak in triumph in those last verses of Romans 8, that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Super Nikes, you could say. The word is nikao in the Greek there. Super Nikes. More than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, neither things present nor things to come, nor powerful forces, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be faithful to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. And you, my dear ones, will love the freedom forever in Christ our Lord. Amen.